All right, y'all, we got a lot to talk about today. Teachers that are on OnlyFans, Mr. Beast getting yelled at on the internet for curing blind people, Pfizer getting exposed over date night, and Proud Family, one of my favorite shows that I grew up on, goes woke. Let's talk about it. All right, guys, happy Friday and welcome to the show. We got Taylor coming with us from Nashville.
Beer, beer, beer. Happy Friday.
Happy Friday. And we also have Cam in the producer's bay.
What's up, guys?
We're going to learn something about Cam today. We'll hold that off, though, for the end of the show, I guess. And also, you guys are going to think it's so effed up that I'm laughing right now once you actually find out what we're exposing Cam for. It's okay. As I said, teachers with OnlyFans is a topic that we're going to be discussing today, which am I surprised by at this moment in time in the modern day and age? No, I'm not. And this is sad. Not only do we have one story about a teacher with an OnlyFans, we have two stories about teachers with OnlyFans, and there's going to be more to come, I predict. Let's read this first one. The headline out of Insider is, a preschool worker lost her job after Libs of TikTok, shout out to my girl Libs of TikTok over there, outed her as an OnlyFans model making porn at work. This was a preschool employee who lost her job, of course, after Kaya, I believe is how you pronounce her name, the woman who runs Libs of TikTok, you know, exposed her for essentially violating, I would hope, violating school policy. But it says a preschool employee in Massachusetts lost her job after being outed for having an OnlyFans account. And in the latest example of Libs of TikTok using her powerful platform to advance conservative causes and plays into a broader trend of schools punishing staff who post on OnlyFans and similar platforms. So apparently what this teacher had done was, on school grounds, she went into the bathroom, lifted up her shirt, took a picture of it, posted it to OnlyFans and captioned it, "Naughty at work," which... Is that just like a typical Tuesday for some people who are working at preschools right now? Because it's just so wild to hear about. So whatever, she went and posted this on the internet. Somebody alerted TikTok, Libs of TikTok, that this was happening. And she went, okay, we got to talk about this and we got to expose this. And of course, the teacher was later taken to task for posting this stuff on the internet. Blows my mind. Like I said, taking hot for teacher to a whole nother level. And the fact that you work at a preschool is just wild to me, the amount of degeneracy that is just happening now. Also, I mean, I bet this story has just boosted her broader appeal, I guess, to the people who buy this stuff on OnlyFans. But OnlyFans has deleted her account because apparently it is in violation of their policy of not being able to post content or create content that was created in a public space. And they're counting a school as a public place. But that's not the only teacher who's done this. We have another teacher who made an actual porn video in her classroom and was exposed by a family friend. And she says that she is now going to get revenge on this family friend for having posted this stuff on the internet. So I guess her name is Chloe Carter, or at least her stage name is Chloe Carter. She and her husband, who was also a teacher at the school that they were working at, filmed kinky content as a way of, you know, by their own account, supplementing their meager income as teachers, is her excuse. We make such a meager salary working this job that we have to create this kinky content. And not only do we have to create it, but we have to create it on school grounds. Now, she was exposed by a family friend, and when she found out about this, she was pissed. She tweeted out, "In November, a family friend decided to expose my identity to national news. This morning, I realized her husband and I work out at the same time in the morning. Karma is coming, you effing C-word." And this lady was teaching children, as was her husband. Like I said, the just sheer amount of degeneracy that we are witnessing, and particularly around kids, just blows my mind. And I don't want to know who's aware of these OnlyFans accounts. Hopefully none of the kids found out, you know, found their teacher doing this before they were exposed on the internet and before they were exposed to the school administrators themselves. But this is a thing that a lot of young women and apparently young males are doing too. And in classrooms, when I was a kid and I was in school, I was shocked to see my teacher like out at a restaurant or out at Walmart, let alone, you know, finding out they have an OnlyFans and seeing naked photos of them. And she too was taken off of OnlyFans, but not to worry. If you still want to access this woman's content, she's gone onto other sexual websites and is now selling her Friends with Benefits package for $12.99. So, if you guys are interested.
Wow. Clown World is off to a great start with this story this week. Thank you, Amala. Just bringing it right out the gate.
You're welcome.
I mean, what's there even to say? It just shows how far gone our culture is, where this is, you know, we already there's a case to be made of like, hey, if this is something that you want to do and you're an adult and it's a private life that you're living and this is how you've chosen to make money,
sure.
Should you be shamed for that? Generally, I don't think so. If you're an adult and working with consenting adults, but now that we have teachers who presumably have something in their contract that they violated by doing this, that are doing it, just, it's one thing to as a teacher be willing to go into this profession and even risking, you know, having your kids or students that you teach finding out about it. That's bold. And then to make content, explicit content in your classroom or on school premises, that's just a whole nother level of tempting fate and just inappropriateness. And it, at least, you know, I guess if there's a silver lining in this story, it's that the schools did still have enough policy in place to remove her from her position, and that OnlyFans was like, yeah, no, that's probably not fine either, and they kicked her off. So I guess that's a good thing that it's not quite as crazy as it could have been. Man, we're just all gas, no brakes in the culture right now with this stuff. And I don't know, at least we have some safeguards when it comes to schools.
I wonder if at some point they're going to try to like pass legislation or protection that says you can't fire people for doing sex work outside of work. I imagine that's something that people are going to start advocating for.
Yeah.
And they're going to say, you know, how dare you fire somebody who wants to find, you know, supplemental income by doing sex work, even though they're a teacher, they're working with children or whatever, and we need to protect women who decide to make this choice. I imagine that is going to be up the bend here shortly, because what are you going to do? I mean, if you're looking at the world through that leftist lens too, that's what you're going to say. You're going to say that should be protected under law, and if they want to do that in their personal life, of course, hopefully there will not be protections for being able to film that stuff on school grounds, but I imagine they're going to say if you're doing it from the comfort of your own home, you're doing it in private, and you should be allowed to do sex work if you want to as a teacher.
There's an interesting parallel here too. Remember that story that we covered last year with the shop teacher in Canada that had the giant prosthetic breasts? It was a man who, I guess, identified as a woman and had the giant prosthetic breasts and brought those and was teaching in class with those on, which is literally like fetish gear that he was wearing to teach in school. And somehow the school stood by him and deemed that to be appropriate. And so when you talk about, you know, an effort to defend sex work by teachers in schools, it doesn't seem that far off when we have a story like that out there.
Right. And here are the photos for those of you who maybe don't remember that story of the Canadian male teacher who was wearing.
Thank you for finding those. It's read so quickly.
I had to let the people see it. You know, you have to just quickly trigger that PTSD for those of you who are already aware of the story. This is what kids were being subjected to at school. So now you've got this. Now you've got teachers doing OnlyFans, mix in a little bit of queer theory, gender theory, and CRT. And, you know, our schools are looking great. They're in ship shape for young kids in America. Although this teacher, I will say, with the prosthetic boobs, is Canadian. So at least it's a shared experience between our two different territories. Now, let's move on to another story where, you know,
we're just getting warmed up, guys.
We're just getting warmed up. If these two teachers that are now no longer teachers are looking for a different career, maybe a show that they can get on, and they have children, they could hop on over to TLC's MILF Manor. I'm sure many of you have heard of this show because it's just been blazing a trail on the internet since it's come out. It is wild. For those of you who are not aware of it, MILF Manor. And if you don't know what MILF means, it's Mother I'd Like To. You know what the F word is. So MILF Manor, the premise of this show is mothers show up to this house slash mansion that they're going to be staying in. And they're, you know, 40, 50 something year old mothers who are looking for younger men. And on its face, you know, there's nothing quite wrong with that. You know, some women date younger men, some older men date younger women, and we might have our own personal judgments about those things, but we look at that and they go, okay, well, that's your choice. That's your prerogative. I'm going to move on. But MILF Manor takes a very weird and strange, twisted turn when it's announced that these women are going to stay at the manor and they're going to bring in these young early 20s men for them to date. The plot twist is that the early 20s men are these women's sons. So each of the women has a son that is also staying at the manor, and the sons are dating around all of the mothers to see which one suits them the best. Yep. A deep Oedipus complex on this one. Here's a clip from MILF Manor, if you'd like to see what this show's all about.
This one, and hopefully there's somebody here that is going to be interested in me. I can be interested in them.
What's going on?
Wait, there are moms? Holy That's my mom right there.
That's my mom right there.
Dios mío, en mi vida.
I just saw straight to possess eyes and just stay there for a couple of seconds and say, what is this?
I am really confused right now. What is really happening here?
Wait, that's my mom right there? This can't be going on.
I'm like completely shocked. I see my son back there and it's like, who are all these guys?
You could not beat this information out of me, let alone put it on TV for everybody to watch on TLC. And that's what these people are doing. Also, are you just a bad mom who doesn't communicate with her son because they're all acting like, oh my gosh, my son's here? I didn't know my son signed the contract to be on this show with me. I had no idea. You knew.
I didn't think about that. Yeah, that's sketchy. You wouldn't even know that your son was going on a reality show or that at the same time that you were. That's
of course they knew.
Maybe they're just not allowed to tell friends and family, but you think they knew? You think it's a scam?
100% they knew it. There's a lot of scripted content within this show. So you have a mother and son who have willingly gone on this show, having communicated with each other prior that they're going to do this. And now they're on MILF Manor together. And the mothers get to watch their sons date and possibly sleep with older women, and vice versa for the sons. I don't know who's in the worst position. Honestly, it's probably the sons. This is like asking for some sort of trauma bond with your mother. This is stuff that you probably should not be watching or subjecting yourself to. Yet they have very open conversations in this show about their sex lives. One of the mothers on this show, spoiler alert, if you guys are gonna end up watching this, one of the mothers on the show announces that she slept with her son's best friend, and her son is in his early 20s. And of course, the kid is traumatized and shocked by this revelation that's happening on TV. So this is the sort of stuff that's happening on this show. They also do a challenge where the sons strip down, you know, take their shirts off, and the moms feel up on their chests and torsos blindfolded to find out which one is their son and try to guess. And whichever mother guesses which one is their son wins the challenge and apparently gets to stay in some fantasy suite with somebody of her choosing. I don't have words.
Well, I have a word. A word comes to mind. Jail. Whoever came up with this needs to go straight to jail.
To the gulag.
Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. You are going immediately to jail. This is the worst of humanity coming out in television form. It does. I will say, so you know, we talked about morbid curiosity on one of the shows earlier this week that led another guy down a dark path, and you can go watch that if you didn't see that earlier this week. But there is something about this show. It's like, it reminds me of, we just watched a documentary about Jerry Springer and just how they made in the 90s, just like the craziest drama that they could muster and put that on television. And you just, all these people with all these issues and, you know, you're the father, whatever. And they just like let the fireworks happen. And they wanted the fights to break out. They wanted the craziness. And it's like the producers of that show are in the same category as the producers of this one. It's just a new generation of let's just create an absolute, you know, car wreck of a TV show and put it on display for the world to see. But to us scrolling through social media, seeing these clips, it does work. It does give you that, mm-hmm. Hey, you know, there's a car wreck. I need to stop and see what the heck's going on, just because it's so purely crazy. But, you know, we talk about it all the time, the Jurassic Park thing. You were so worried about whether you could that you didn't stop to think about whether you should. And this was definitely something that you should not have done, TLC, just for so many reasons.
Sigmund Freud is not rolling in his grave. He's tap dancing in his grave because of this TV show. This is wild. I cannot believe. And you have to think, okay, all of these people willingly signed up. And right now, what's different from maybe the like Maury days of like watching Maury or Dr. Phil on TV or Jerry Springer is that those people really lived only in that moment on their show, on Maury or on Jerry Springer. They didn't go on to become these super famous household names or build careers off of their presence on these major TV shows. But these people now are incentivized to sign up for these really crazy reality shows because it quite literally creates an entire career for them. These moms and these sons will go on to be famous, not only from this show, but they'll be able to go on and venture into whatever they want to do. I mean, look at the people who were on, what is it called? Love is Blind, Married at First Sight, The Bachelor and The Bachelorette. These people build a huge audience simply by being on these sort of crazy, kooky shows, and they can go on to do whatever they want. So why not, like, traumatize yourself for a season of a show if that means that you're going to get millions of followers and go on to be able to do whatever your choice is? You're kind of just sacrificial lambing your I don't know, your psychology, really, your brain. You're just going, oh yeah, I'll sacrifice my relationship with my mother for fame and to go on and do whatever I want. It's just crazy. Here's another clip from the show if you guys want to see it.
The moms get a blindfold.
Here it is.
You have to go up and touch all of the young men and figure out
all of the young men, you mean all of their sons. Let's clarify.
Touching their chests and abs and shoulders. Which one is their son? The two moms that figure out who their son is the quickest win the best sweets in the whole house. So the competition is on.
I need you guys to help me find my son. If you want to hang out with me tonight.
The mom.
I mean, we're no straight. This feels like a new peak to like crazy things that go on television. But like I said, there's Love is Blind. There's Married at First Sight. There's My 600-Pound Life. There's all these like super crazy shows. And we've spoken about this in reference to news and media before. When you platform these sorts of things, guess what happens? Your eyes, your mind, your body, your soul get used to taking in these things and they become less ridiculous. We're all talking about how ridiculous this is now, but by season 5, everybody's gonna be like, oh yeah, that's MILF Manor. We're over that show. You know, there's been another DILF Manor came out, you know, last year and I'm watching that now. So your threshold for finding things ludicrous or insane just gets higher and higher and higher and higher. And then you need more of a stimulus to make you have that same reaction. So what's the next thing? Also, I don't think DILF Manor is going to be coming out anytime soon because that show would be firebombed by the woke left, who would never want to see a man date young women in the manner that these women are doing it. If you had a show where you had 40 and 50 year old men standing with blindfolds on and feeling up 20 year old girls, which I believe the youngest guy on this show is 20 years of age, if you had older men feeling up 20 year old girls, what would happen? Jail. at the very least, completely canceled, obliterated, never working again, all these things. But with women, it's okay because women are liberated and they can do whatever they want. Crazy.
Yeah, and I think you're onto something with, you know, like I've heard the way that you talk about the, you know, the increasing desensitization that people experience in reference to like pornography, and people go to more extreme versions of that to be able to get off or whatever. But now you don't think about it, but that's can be happening to you with this type of television. If that's all you're feeding your brain, and you become more and more desensitized to just like, you know, oh, keeping up with the Kardashians, that's kid stuff. And I need to see the super crazy, you know, MILF manner to even be entertained anymore. And so that is something to be conscious of. There's also an element of dehumanization in here, of the people who are involved in these shows kind of do it to themselves, just becoming like this. You're losing your own self and your own soul and becoming an avatar of like of your entertainment value to the world, and or what you're reducing yourself to that. And you know, like we've talked about that, the YouTuber, I think Nico Cotto Avocado, who did these eating challenges and just started out skinny and relatively healthy and just became super unhealthy and had all kinds of other problems. And you could just literally physically see the sort of deterioration of his body because of what he was doing to himself to get clicks on social media. But that happens to influencers. It happens. It's just like a very common theme anywhere you look in our culture that you can see. But last thought on this is, I think that a thought that keeps recurring to me lately is that boring is underrated. And I propose a radical idea for a new show. You could call it like Traditional Family and just do a reality show of a healthy traditional family where there's a dad who earns the money and he's got traditional values, spends plenty of time with the kids, is present every night, takes them to baseball practice, reads them bedtime stories, the mom's home, cleaning, cooking, doing all that. And everyone's just happy as can be. And the kids are just out involved in all their little, you know, projects, and they go over to the grandparents' house and go to church and say their prayers and just have a very like wholesome, you know, healthy, happy family that doesn't have any crazy drama, but is just very functional. And, you know, that would be crazy television these days because it's not something you ever see fictionally or in reality TV. And it's something increasingly rare to see in general. So I think that in its own sick way would be kind of fascinating.
Yeah. But also canceled after the first episode for accusations of misogyny and patriarchy and uplifting a nuclear heterosexual family and racist somehow. There will be a slew of complaints thrown at Trad Family once we air it. Maybe we can get Daily Wire to fund that.
I love it. You pitched it. You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. That's our pitch.
And if we don't get them to fund it, we'll release the contract on our show. That was not a slight to anybody in particular, guys. You did not hear that here. Okay. You know what I want to talk about? We have to talk about the fact that something that I grew up on, a TV show that I know and love, is being ruined. And that TV show, cartoon, if you will, is Proud Family. Guys, Proud Family, created by Disney, is essentially basically coming out and trying to turn people into social justice warriors through watching what would have been a very wholesome, beautiful, diverse show, if we really want to go there. I was watching Proud Family when I was a child with Destiny's Child singing a little theme song with the black family and the white friends and the blue sisters and all these different characters of diverse backgrounds, diverse opinions. And guess what? Nobody ever had to call it out and say this is a diverse show. Nobody ever had to say anything about the skin tone of the characters. They just made a good product. They put it on TV, and I, a little biracial kid, sat in front of my TV, and guess what? I was represented on the show, and I got to see it. Not that I cared, but it was there. So as much as people complain about diversity in TV, we had it. We've been had it. But now they're ruining Proud Family, because of course, you can't leave things untouched. You can't leave things in their original packaging anymore. You have to take them out of their mint condition and inject some woke leftist ideology into them. And Proud Family has done exactly that with their new series, Proud Family Louder and Prouder. And you guys have to watch this for yourselves. I don't think I've heard so many race-conscious leftist buzzwords in such a short time in a kid's program. Even in an adult's program. Let's watch.
This country was built on slavery, which means slaves built this country. Killed this land from sea to sea to sea. First there was rice, tobacco, sugar cane. Then Whitney did his thing and cotton became cane. And we were its soldiers,
4 million strong.
Fighting for America's freedoms, even though we remained America's slaves. Built this country. The descendants of slaves continue to build it.
Slaves built this country.
And we, the descendants of slaves in America, have earned reparations for their suffering. And
you've earned reparations? Please, please tell me what you've earned, that you've earned reparations. For what? So you want reparations from people who were never slave owners given to people who were never slaves? And this is what Proud Family is teaching you? I used to sit in front of the TV, I should say, watch Proud Family, learn about bullying, learn about friendship, learn about navigating school life as a young child, learn about just normal things that all young people go through the lens of this family and through the lens of these mainly female characters. And now you get this. I don't identify with we in this case with Proud Family. Ugh.
Continue to earn reparations every moment we spend submerged in the systemic prejudice, racism, and
white supremacy
that America was founded with and still has not atoned for.
Slaves.
What? They said America was founded on white supremacy and prejudice and systemic racism, and they still have not atoned for it. So no one in America has atoned for the transgression of slavery. Nobody has apologized. Nobody has recognized the past in America. Nobody has spoken about the transgressions. Are you joking me? Are you kidding right now? What is going on?
Built this country.
Not only field hands, but carpenters, masons,
blacksmiths, musicians,
inventors, built cities from Jamestown to New Orleans to Bannockburn,
Washington.
40 acres and a mule.
We'll take the 40 acres, keep the mule.
We made your families rich.
From the southern plantation heirs
to the northern bankers
to the New England ship owners,
the founding fathers,
former presidents,
current senators,
the Illuminati, the New World Order.
Slaves built this country.
We had Tubman,
Turner,
Frederick.
Didn't they say Lincoln freed the slaves?
But slaves were men.
And women.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I really can't. And then they have the little white girl who's not really speaking because clearly she can't say things like we, because she can't identify with the black struggle in America. And then you have a child bringing up the Illuminati and the New World Order to other children who are supposed to be watching this programming. I cannot believe that a group of people presumably sat down, watched what they intended for this new show, and went, yep, it's exactly the message we want to give to little children. It's exactly what we want to say. Never mind that I can't account for the fact that we made Proud Family in the early 2000s. How? If America's so systemically racist and we hate diversity and we don't want to acknowledge slavery, how did you even make the Proud Family in the early 2000s? How was that even allowed in such a white supremacist, racist country?
Ugh. Only we can free ourselves.
Emancipation is not freedom.
Jim Crow, segregation, redlining, public schools feeding private prisons, where we become slaves again.
As we celebrate Juneteenth
for the umpteenth time,
our account is still outstanding.
Cause this country was built on slavery, which means
slaves built this country.
And we demand our 40 acres and a mule.
Drop that.
You can keep the mule.
Keep the 40.
We're taking our freedom.
And everybody cheers because that was great, except for what the seemingly white judges who just heard something that white people aren't supposed to hear or white people are so uncomfortable with hearing. But the crowd goes wild because everybody agrees with the victimized narrative of Black America. Everybody agrees that Black America is still yet to have been freed. Even though we have a bunch of black characters in this TV show right now being put on Disney, one of the biggest corporations that has ever existed in the history of the United States of America. Even though I'm right here talking to you on this show right now, a biracial woman, we've achieved nothing. We have yet to atone for our past. We have yet to acknowledge slavery, and we have yet to have paid reparations. Guys, you know when reparations should have been paid? You know what? I am pro-reparation. You know when reparations should have been paid? When the slaves
weren't enslaved anymore. That was when reparations should have been paid. Do you now get to knock on the door of the US government nearly 200 years later and say you want reparations now? The grandchild of a grandchild wanting reparations now for what? You were not enslaved. I'm sorry that it didn't get paid when it was supposed to get paid. But you don't get to ask for it now, especially since it is not going to heal any wound that that Black Americans are facing right now. And to see this in kids' programming is disgusting. So you're a young kid who's supposed to be turning on Disney to either A, be entertained, B, learn something valuable, like a strong, timeless life lesson. And their timeless life lesson is that you are oppressed in this country through a racist past, a racist present, and by every marker that they've discussed here, a racist future. That's the message that when you get a show that gets to show Black America and the Black family, that's what you want to push forward to little kids. You want to teach them of their own victimhood, teach them that they have nothing to get from this country, no opportunities in this country, they never have and they never will. That's what you're proud of, proud family? Disgusting. I will not be watching this show unless there's more to react to and call out, as I'm sure there will be. I just cannot believe that some unknowing parent is going to sit their kid in front of the TV and maybe even some of them thinking that this is going to give them a clear view of representation, and this is what they're going to get. Proud Family used to have diverse Black characters of different backgrounds, different opinions, different attitudes, who all came together under one family to discuss issues that everybody feels, that everybody deals with. And now, you as a little Black child get to sit in front of your TV and watch Proud Family, where every single Black character is gonna be a cookie cutter, cutout character that spouts the same woke bullshit that everybody else is saying on TV. There's nothing new here, there's nothing fresh here, and there's nothing to be proud about. Oh my gosh.
Mic drop.
Mic drop, I guess. This gets me so pissed, man. Taylor, you watch Proud Family too.
I did, and that's, you're hitting the nail on the head. This, what's so backward about this is I was a young kid when this came out and remember watching the original version of this show. And, you know, as a 11-year-old white kid in Tulsa, Oklahoma, one of the whitest cities in America, I tuned into this show, didn't have a second thought about it, but just enjoyed watching it because I could relate to it. I realized that the characters were Black and maybe more female. And something you notice and realize, but I didn't think anything of it because, like you said, they focused on themes that were universal and could be relating to. And it actually made people from a different background seem less different, less alien, less strange or whatever. And I didn't, again, that wasn't like a conscious thought in my head. It was just like, oh, cool, this is a show. It's for me because it's about things that I can actually relate to. And that has the effect of narrowing the differences between us and not focusing on them and not driving. And what the new version of this show does the complete opposite. This show, the reboot of this show, is a perfect case study in how woke attempts to solve racism versus how our traditional liberal Christian or liberal democracy, you know, Martin Luther King style, just de-emphasizing race, moving towards a place where, yes, we can see each other's race and see the differences between us, but that we have what we share as humans, what we share as children of God, what we share as Americans is more important and is so much higher than all these differences that we're not going to focus on the wedges between us, but focuses on what we share in common and what we can experience together. And that's not to say we always have to say, like, you don't shove history under a rug. You confront that and you've learned about it, but this is doing nothing but putting the limelight on every grievances. And you're teaching the Black kids that you're oppressed and you need to think of the tone that the kids had when they were demonstrating and giving their performance. Everyone seemed angry and agitated. And that's because I guarantee you the people who wrote that, that's how they feel. They feel angry at the white supremacist system. And it's all about pushing you toward activism. And it's not promoting healing. It's not promoting unity. It's not promoting real progress. It's undoing genuine progress that we've made and bringing us back to a place of division that's getting us nowhere. And, you know, I'm reminded of the appearance on Dr. Phil and just how the guy, a CRT professor that was on there debating you on Dr. Phil, just kind of had an answer for everything of why white supremacy is at the root of the cultural appropriation and why everything's problematic and why we have to focus on our grievances. And everyone in the room was just like, you know, you can make all these arguments, you can say stuff, you can play the victim, you can, you know, create this binary of oppressor and oppressed and play off of it and beat it till the cows come home. But like, you're not bringing us anywhere. And you can just feel it. You're not bringing us toward progress. You're not bringing us toward healing. You're not promoting healthy relationships between the races and helping us thrive as a country or as a society. And it grieves me to see that we're moving backwards, that 20 years ago, we were further ahead than where we are today with this stuff.
Yeah, it's just full of excuses, too. Like, a little black kid, you're going to see this and all this talk of reparations and you're owed something just by being born. So you're going to think, oh, not only a strong sense of entitlement for being owed something just by being born in this country, but also you'll have a crutch underneath both your arms for the rest of your life, because if anything goes wrong, it's this country's fault. It's not your fault. There's no personal accountability to be found in this message. There's no responsibility to be found in this message. And that's what Proud Family used to be all about. And, you know, this show is very reminiscent of what they've done with Velma, taking all the Scooby-Doo characters, making them just nauseatingly woke, and then repackaging and putting it out as if it's what we're used to and as if it's what we saw as a child. They're hijacking all of these shows that used to be so near and dear to our hearts and ruining them. So I will be watching the old episodes of shows. I mean, the last straw for me where I'm going to flip this desk is if they ever recreate Family Matters. I'm going to be pissed, because that was yet another show that had a heavy amount of black representation and diverse black representation. I mean, Urkel was this smart, nerdy black kid, and then you had Stefan, his little alter ego that was suave and maybe not as hardworking, and then you had Carl, who was this blunt, strong, conservative black man that was holding down his family. You had the mom that was just embracing her femininity while also being super strong and assertive in her values with her kids. There are just so many truly diverse characters in shows that happened, you know, late 90s, early 2000s, that was full of representation. As much as we complain about diversity now and needing to just funnel all these black characters into shows. And guess what? It's not diverse if all your black characters are the same. It's reminiscent of Wakanda Forever, which I watched, and they touted as, oh my gosh, look at all these black women in one movie all together at the same time. And I watched it and I go, well, yeah, there's a lot of different faces. Like, there's different women in this show, but they're all the same woman. They're all saying the same things. They all think the same things. They all do the same things. So you've really just taken one character, copied and pasted it, and slapped a different actress on it. You've done nothing for diversity for black people in these movies that you've created. And to think that they're going to be proud of this, ugh, horrible. Horrible.
Yeah, and those cookie-cutter characters that you're talking about, they don't resonate with people. They don't ring true because they don't feel like the people that we actually meet in real life and know, and they don't feel like they're people who are just genuinely going about life in a relatable way or being a hero, following a traditional hero's journey arc and following that. It's all just about the fact that they're diverse, the fact that they're a woman, the fact that they're sticking it to the white supremacist patriarchal system. And I think no cherished show or intellectual property that you loved as a child is safe from the woke wave right now, because they can't come up with a new original story, new original characters that people like and that are compelling, because everyone that you jam into this mold that has grievances, that sees the world through this woke worldview, they're not relatable. No one likes them. They're not likable. You can't build a show around it. So they have to keep going for Scooby-Doo. They have to keep going for the Fresh Prince or whatever it is, and go back in time and brings it, my personal favorite, Lord of the Rings, and jam intersectional feminism and forced diversity into everything, because they're not creative people. They're not original. We talked about it within the Velma reaction. Like, Mindy Kaling, she was funny in The Office, and you know she's like a talented person, but these people's talent is being wasted on this woke ideology. As Donald Trump famously said, everything woke turns to shit. It seems like that's what's happening with every show and every movie that we've ever loved, that they try to remake and reboot and with a woke undertones on, it just kills it. And that's why Top Gun Maverick did so good this past year, because if you finally made something that was just like, hey, we like you, our audience, and we're making this for you, and we don't have a political agenda, we're just trying to entertain you and give you a good film and a good story that you can relate to, and here you go. And people are like, thank you, that's a breath of fresh air. But Hollywood, for whatever reason, just seems not to be able to learn that lesson and apply it to all the other stuff that they're making, and they keep coming out with just dud after dud. They're losing money, people are signing off and fed up, and I wonder if we're anywhere near rock bottom. You gotta hope so, but I guess we'll keep tuning into Clown World Weekly, and we'll keep you posted.
Yeah, now I'm there. Hollywood is really just all over the place. Another arena that's all over the place is journalism. I have to talk about this Project Veritas story that came out. This is from Charlie Kirk. Breaking: Project Veritas has just been locked out of their Twitter account following a series of bombshell videos exposing Pfizer. Now, I'm sure many of you saw this Pfizer exec going on a date with somebody from Project Veritas and new things getting exposed from what he spoke about on this date. We have a new video out from Project Veritas about how the old stick and poke, I guess we'll call it that, is affecting menstrual cycles, although they don't know exactly why. Here's the video.
Something irregular about their menstrual cycle, so people have to investigate that down the line.
Yeah.
Well, because that is a little concerning. The action shouldn't be interfering with that, so we don't really
know. It shouldn't?
It shouldn't, no.
But is it?
There's something happening, but we don't know if it's out.
Well, I mean, you're a urologist, so you must understand, like, what's going on with it, right? Like,
well, that's why I understand that it's weird. I hope we don't find out that, like, there's somehow this mRNA, like, lingers in the body, and then, like, has... Because it has to be impacting something hormonal, so they impact menstrual cycles.
Yeah, or, like, the entire next generation is, like, super fucked up. Could you imagine the scandal? Oh, my God. I mean, I'd take Pfizer off my resume.
You heard it here, maybe not first, folks, but you've heard it here. They said that there's definitely some strange things happening with menstrual cycles of women who have got the old stick and poke, and they are concerned about it. They're looking into it, and they're saying that that's something that the stick and poke should not be interfering with. You know how some guys were like, you know, I don't want to date a girl who's gotten the old stick and poke? It's starting to sound more and more accurate the more the time goes on. It's starting to sound like maybe that's not the worst decision you've ever made. And now this guy's walking back on what he said during this date. There was quite a bit said, including references to possible gain of function testing that Pfizer was doing in their labs, which we all know what that means. And when confronted, he's walking back and saying, I lied. What are you talking about? Let's see if we can play this video.
My question for you is, why does Pfizer want to hide from the public the fact that they're mutating the COVID viruses?
Is this real life? I'm literally a liar. I was trying to impress a person on a date by lying.
Please don't touch me.
Well, this is not, by the way, don't tell anybody.
This is someone who's just working at a company to literally help the public.
He said, why are you guys doing this? I'm a liar. I literally lied to impress somebody on a date. I will say the compassionate part of me does feel for this guy in the sense that he is probably what is one piece on a very large chessboard as far as Pfizer is involved as a company. And he got very talkative on a date, and now that's been exposed. So he's probably becoming the fall man for a lot of what is not his own personal doing. But that's some pretty heavy stuff to have been released. Gain of function testing, interruption or interference with menstrual cycles of women, when how many people have gotten the old stick and poke? That's a big thing. And mainstream media doesn't really seem to be talking about it all that much. CNN ran cover of this story and put out this pro-Big Pharma display a couple days after the original dating video was released. And now this guy's saying he's lying. I just lied. I lied on a date. I lied to impress. Although, I don't typically go on dates and lie about gain-of-function testing and the effect that the stick and poke is having on women's menstrual cycles as a way of impressing somebody that I'm dating. I'm not sure what the goal was there, how he thought that was going to work strategically for his love life, but I don't often associate those things with being impressed. You, Taylor?
Yeah, it's, as they say, weird flex, but okay.
Yeah.
But no, if you work for a big tech corporation or in the mainstream media or Pfizer and Big Pharma, and you get a date with someone online and it's suspiciously easy, and then you go on that date and they start asking you about your job and show a little bit too much interest in it, you might have a little bit of a red flag there. And chances are you're on a date with Project Veritas and you're about to be the next viral video to explode all over the internet, exposing whatever it is that you're a part of. So, you know, I sympathize with your analysis too, that, hey, you know, it always feels a little weird watching these and you see like someone kind of feeling safe and they're talking to somebody under false pretenses. But like you said, you're caught up in something that is nefarious, or at least has nefarious things that have been hidden. And, you know, there's a reason people are after the truth. And it's unfortunate that, you know, this guy had to be at the center of it. But at the same time, you know, this is a case of, I think, you know, the end kind of justifies the means, as long as nothing illegal was done. And, you know, I mean, it sucks that it's under false pretenses. You kind of feel for the guy, but at the same time, like this stuff needs to be exposed, because a lot more people suffered a lot worse things, because of the lies that have been perpetrated around all this stuff in the last few years. And so, you know, I feel some empathy for this guy, but I feel more empathy for the people who have been fired, lost their jobs, weren't allowed to see dying loved ones. And, you know, the economy's crashed down, the children that lost schooling for years.
Yeah.
Like, I feel a lot of empathy for those people, and to where, you know, it makes me a little less sympathetic to this guy in this one case.
Yeah, I watch it. You know, of course, hindsight is 20/20, but in watching some of these videos, I'm like, how did you not realize that you were on a date with a journalist who was just farming information out of you? Because there was no, I mean, who knows what footage didn't get released and what did get released. But the guy's like, oh, tell me more about, you know, is that gain of function testing? Tell me more. What else are you going to use mRNA vaccines for? Tell me more. How is it affecting menstrual cycles? Can you say that again? Can you be more specific about how what you're doing at Pfizer is affecting women's menstrual cycles? Also, is that supposed to happen? Like, every single question was more and more and more and more. I feel like I would have been able to sniff out that this was a journalist talking to me. But again, hindsight is 20/20, and I'm sure there was drinks involved as well.
Beer goggles, yeah. It's
yeah.
Wishful thinking kicks in. It's like, oh yeah, I mean, she must be just really curious and turned on by talking about menstrual cycles and the effects of vaccines on them. I mean,
right.
I struck gold. This is what I do for a living.
Right, right.
I'm so interesting to this person.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. But I'm sure there's more to come, because they're just slowly but surely releasing more videos from this guy and what they've uncovered about Pfizer. Let's move on to a story that I want to talk about, because it affects our very own Dennis Prager. Dennis is going to be going to ASU, Arizona State University, to do an event with Charlie Kirk and Robert Kiyosaki. And he's being met, of course, with the abrasive woke left who does not want to see him on the campus. The Honors College faculty petitioned the university to condemn a Barrett-sponsored event hosting controversial political commentators at Gamage. So they're supposed to go there and host an event that is called Health, Wealth, and Happiness, like I said, with Dennis Prager, Charlie Kirk, and Robert Kiyosaki. And multiple, and I should say even more than multiple, many of the faculty members are pissed about this. They've now circulated a petition that was signed by 37 out of 47 Barrett faculty members at ASU to bring down this event and say that it should not be hosted on their campus and that they should not allow speakers such as Dennis Prager and Charlie Kirk to be on the campus. They've accused them of being white nationalists, misogynists, you know, racist, the whole gamut of accusations that you can throw at a person. They've thrown at them in this detailed petition. They've also put together a bunch of clips from Media Matters of Dennis saying things that they think are out of hand, and they're trying to get this event shut down. So, of course, we have to talk about this on the show. What is really disgusting about this, and it's very similar to what happened to me at Winona State University, is that this is not an effort necessarily by students, although students are also endorsing this and calling for them to not have this event, but it is faculty. faculty at a college that is supposed to encourage pluralism, healthy debate, open discussions, and diverse opinions is saying we don't want Charlie Kirk and we don't want Dennis Prager to step foot on this college and host an event that we don't have to go through. You're not held at gunpoint and forced to go to this event and sit and listen to what they have to say. But 37 out of 47 is such a wild number to hear. And it just goes to show that there are many problems on college campuses, and higher education just ain't what it used to be. Now, you guys, if you are in the Arizona area near ASU and you'd like to go to this event, there is a Ticketmaster thing for it if you'd like to go. It's called Health, Wealth, Happiness. Hopefully, you guys can go and fill the stadium and give a strong, I don't know, something to these faculty members who think that we shouldn't host events like this and that you shouldn't encourage pluralism on a college campus. It's just crazy. Now, on to our last story. We're going to be talking quickly about Mr. Beast. Mr. Beast, who you all know, I'm sure, because he is just extremely famous YouTuber. He made a video where he cured the blindness of 1,000 people on his YouTube channel by paying for them to go through what is a 10-minute surgery, or 10-minute operation to cure their blindness. And it was found that half of the world's blindness could be cured through this 10-minute procedure. Now, you'd think the internet would be amazed. They'd be just so happy to see what Mr. Beast was doing, and some were, but many came at his throat and said, this is disgusting, how dare you? I think Taylor said, somebody said, how dare you assume that these people wanted their blindness cured, and even if they did, how dare you post this on the internet? How dare you film it and put it for our unknowing eyes to see, even though we had to click the YouTube video to watch it. And they came for him for doing this. So Mr. Beast responded and tweeted out, Twitter, rich people should help others with their money. Me, okay, I'll use my money to help people, and I promise to give away all my money before I die. Every single penny, which is a lot of money, by the way. Twitter, Mr. Beast, bad. You know, I can't see a single problem with this. I mean, it doesn't even really need that much airtime. There's nothing wrong with somebody charitably using their wealth to help people who are disadvantaged in some way, shape, or form. Curing 1,000 people of their blindness is a wonderful thing. Now, it was pointed out that a lot of people wish the government was capable of doing these things. And Mr. Beast did respond to that claim and said, you know what, I agree with you in a sense. I think if people go through this surgery at the government's expense, they'd be able to work again. And maybe the return on investment evens out as far as paying for the surgery and getting that return on investment as people start to go to work again, because these people are visually impaired. And that hurts them in the workplace and in the work market. And I think that's an argument to be heard out. I'm not sure how that would play out on a governmental level. And as we all know, things tend to be done better by private citizens when compared to the work of the government. But I can't imagine being upset about somebody creating something like this. And his decision to film it, a lot of people might take issue with and say, why not just do charity? Why film it? Well, guess what? Millions and millions and millions of people see the video that he's created of these people getting their sight back, which means more money in his pocket, more people feeling inspired, more people wanting to be charitable, and giving him more of a field to run in as far as doing his charitable work, which he does all the time. So I'm all for it. Do what you're gonna do. And it's not like these people didn't consent to being involved in this process. Also, we're gonna have to take special commentary from Cam, because we found out after talking about this story in particular that Cam is half blind.
I am half blind.
Yes.
And I just wish that people like Mr. Beast would stop thinking that he can speak for people like me who are half blind.
How dare he?
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But, yeah, I don't know. I think that it's probably not a good idea for the government to pay for it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that the return on investment would be sufficient. But if Mr. Beast wants to go spend all his money on curing people's blindness, then that's awesome.
Right. Cam, do you want to be on the list?
On the list?
For Mr. Beast? Would you be in the video?
If he wants me to be in the video, I'll be in the video.
I'll be in the video. Look at that. We've got Cam on board to be in the Mr. Beast video. Yeah, I don't know that there's much to say outside of that. Taylor, you got anything here?
I mean, the biggest takeaway for me from all this was, well, first of all, I heard about this story and I heard about the outrage around it. And it felt more like one of those things where it's like everybody is genuinely outraged at the idea that there are people who are outraged by this thing, and you struggle to find the actual people who are outraged by it. But, you know, you do read some tweets, and it seems to be that they either fall in the categories that you laid out first. Either there are people that are outraged that this much blindness exists when it's only a 10-minute procedure and the government should be fixing this problem. But my question for those people is, like, how many surgeries have you paid for, and where is your plan? Have you done the math and made it figure out how, like Mr. B said, you know, if the government can do this and there's an ROI there, then you'd think that should happen. But, you know, I guarantee you no one that's armchair criticizing this stuff and saying that and complaining that the government should be doing it is A, doing anything about it themselves, or B, has advocated for any kind of system or put together any kind of plan or thought about it before seeing Mr. Beast do this. It's just this natural reaction to be cynical and blame the system. And we see that, we talk about that on the show a lot. It's just, there's a tendency for, especially in this generation, to, you know, blame society or blame the system and get angry at that whenever you are faced with problems in the world, in your personal life, or when you observe them out in the world, and people rarely connect the dots of, like, okay, well, before I, you know, like Jordan Peterson says, set your own house in order before you criticize the world. Like, right. You know, what can I do about this? Is there someone in my immediate life and immediate circle who's suffering in the way that is concerning me right now, and I can do something for them? Is there something that I can advocate for, a positive plan that I can put out there, or am I just going to sit here and complain about it? And I think that's the frustrating part for me is seeing people who offer this critique just not having done anything themselves and not thought ever thinking about an actual way to solve problems that'll work, that aligns with incentives and aligns with human nature, that will have an ROI for society and make the world a better place. I'm all for those plans. I want to hear it. But you know, they're not putting that forward. They're just complaining. And yeah. I don't have time for that.
It's Outrage Olympics out there, ladies and gentlemen. With that, we're going to get into Super Chats. Let's read what you guys have to say. Ruth Ann Amston, thank you so much for your Super Chat. She says, thank you for everything you do, dear Amala. Very sweet, Ruth. Thank you so much for watching and enjoying the show. We're glad you enjoy. And you sent a second Super Chat with no message. We really appreciate you and your support. Sup, my dude, said, what you mean 2023 isn't a chill year? Chill, according to Webster, means a feeling of frigidity. And it's been a freaking cold year this far, Amala. You're right. Has been cold. Also, I've been doing ice baths every morning, so it actually has been a super chill year for me, which I'll post a video about that at some point in the near future, because I'm trying to do it for 30 days straight and then assess what the benefits are and how I feel after that. So it has been a chill year indeed. I take that back. Miu96 says, I would rather drop a space colony to Earth than allow teachers to have an OnlyFans account if this is how civilization will fall. Yeah, it's rough out there. You know, when I saw that there was not one but two stories of teachers with OnlyFans, I'm not surprised anymore. I was a little shocked, but it's really hard to shock me. We should play a game of trying to shock me on this show with news, and I have a feeling I will win. I will win.
Today set the bar high with OnlyFans teachers and MILF Manor and outrage at Mr. Beast and all the Pfizer stuff. It's been a crazy day.
It just never ends. It never ends.
The bar keeps getting higher.
Yes, it does. Lizzie Girl, thank you for your Super Chat, says, I want to bring up that the white girl is... Oh, wait. The white girl in this redheaded... Oh, you're saying that she is a redhead. Weren't the Irish enslaved for a bit, too? Lizzie. Come here. Get close so you can hear me. Nobody was oppressed other than black people. So you're actually canceled. But thank you for your Super Chats. Never bring up the oppression of other people ever again, young Lizzie. Learn your lesson today. No, but you make a very valid point. Every single culture that has ever existed has gone through some form of intense oppression at the hands of other people. But we're not allowed to talk about that. That'll get you censored. Feeling Dangerous 113. Thank you for your super chat. This is children's programming nowadays. Whatever happened to SpongeBob and Bugs Bunny, Tom and Jerry, etc.? You're right. These are all shows that I grew up on. Although, in my adulthood, I have come to find that SpongeBob, a little more inappropriate than I originally thought it was. And we don't need to get into how it's inappropriate, but there's a lot of ways in which SpongeBob is inappropriate. But here's the thing. What I was used to and what I've come to learn now is that our children's programming was like fun to watch for kids, but also had little Easter eggs in it for adults. I don't think kids are smart enough or capable of deciphering some of the subliminal messaging that's happening in these shows. Like, SpongeBob lives in Bikini Bottom with sandy cheeks. Kids don't really figure that stuff out, so I don't think it's the most harmful thing. A lot of people read into it and they're like, it's the Illuminati talking to our kids and trying to make them sexual or whatever. I don't view it as that bad. I just think they're trying to put in little Easter eggs. So if you're a parent watching shows with your kids, it's not just this, you know, boring, you know, nothingness. You get a joke every now and then that you can give a little giggle to. And I think that's it for Super Chats. Did I miss any by chance?
I don't think so. If we did, put it in the chat. Yell at us. We'll get you next time.
Yes, please do. Please do yell at us. We're into that. Okay, guys. I hope you enjoyed the show. Happy Friday. Hope you have a fantastic weekend. Drop your weekend plans down below. Are you disappointed or shocked by any of these stories? Drop that in the comments down below as well. And as always, we like to encourage healthy debate. So if you disagree with somebody in the comments, let them know. Hopefully, respectfully. And, you know, keep your class about it. But yeah, let them know and have the discussion down below. Please like, subscribe, click the notification bell to be notified every single time we go live. That's Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 3 p.m. Pacific, 6 p.m. Eastern. And we post videos for you guys every single day because that's how we do it over here. Thank you so much for watching. Have a great weekend. Bye-bye.
Bye, guys.